This morning, let's turn back to Romans and chapter 8. And I want us to take a look at verse 29 and 30. So Romans 8, 29 and 30. So we know these verses well, don't we? Romans 8, 29 and 30. For whom God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Now, there's one word that we're going to hang our thoughts on this morning, and that's the word image. So this word will feature throughout the sermon this morning. Whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. So let's hold on to that word, then, image, and let's ask God to help us then as we turn to his word. Lord our God, we do thank you that we can come to you and look at your word. And sometimes we don't want to. Other times we're afraid to. Lord, there are moments when we are very keen to listen to your word. Sometimes your word is something that is soothing and comforting. Other times, our God, it's a bit near to the mark and makes us feel uncomfortable. Sometimes we completely get the wrong end of the stick, and our own fears and worries actually twist what your word has to say to us. And so we don't hear it at all. Lord, we ask you to help us to be free of any difficulty, any obstacle that might get in the way of us hearing your word this morning. So we commend ourselves to you, young and old. We ask your blessing upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been thinking about, haven't we, what our society is like. And we've said that right from the beginning of human history, God put three foundations into society. So we've spent some time thinking about this on a Sunday morning. And these foundations reflect the image of God. And I'm sure most of you would be able to identify what those three foundations are. The first foundation is what it means to be a person. Each human being is made in the image of God. And so we looked at Genesis 1 and 2, and we saw how God made Adam in his image, and then Adam carried on acting in the image of God in Genesis 2. That's the first foundation in society. Every human being is made in the image of God. Then there's the second foundational truth, and that's marriage. Adam and Eve, the first married couple, marriage reflects the image of Christ and the church. So what we've seen in recent weeks is that Christ and the church is first in the mind of God, and God then creates marriage to reflect the relationship between Christ and the church. So human marriage comes after and reflects on the relationship between Christ and his church. And then the third foundational truth in Scripture is family life. You have mother and father, and you have children. And that family reflects the image of God as Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So these three foundations are in society speaking to us about God. And what we've noticed is that these three foundations are being rejected in our society. So the notion of a person made in the image of God is now under attack. Marriage is under attack, and family life is under attack. And our society rejects these three foundations. It's a rejection of God, and then God responds, as we've seen, in wrath. Now, what I want us to see today is that God's purpose is to rescue and recover his image in the individual. It's God's purpose to recover his image in marriage, and it's God's purpose to recover his image in family life. And in our text this morning, we've got two of those ideas to be found. So take a look at Romans 8 and verse 29. And can you see where two of those foundational truths are in the purposes of God being recovered? Let's look at the verse again. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. So that there is the idea of the individual made in the image of God. God is working to recover that image in the individual believer. And then look at the rest of the verse, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. What you've got there is the idea of family, that God is working to recover the idea of family with Jesus, the elder brother, and then Christian men and women as brothers and sisters in the same family. So those two foundations, the individual and family, are here in our text. Now, what I want us to do is think of the first idea here, that God is working to recover the idea of image in every Christian. If you're a Christian today, God is working in your life to restore the idea of image, that you were made in the image of God. And so when God calls you and saves you, God starts a work of restoration. So how can we make this clear? Let's take the idea of a painting. Let's think of an idea of a painting that's a masterpiece. And that masterpiece was perhaps lost or neglected, hidden away in an attic. And then many, many years after it was hidden away, that painting was discovered, and it was covered in oil and grime and dust and dirt. The masterpiece is still there, but it's hidden behind all these layers of neglect and dust. And a work of restoring is begun. Now, that's what it means to be a Christian. An original masterpiece, that's every human being made in the image of God. That image is then lost and covered up, if you like, and God begins a work of restoration. Now, I want us to pursue this idea, and will you turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15, and we want to start here. There's some wonderful verses in this chapter about the idea of image. So if you can, turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll read from verse 47. So mark these verses. They're wonderful verses. Let's read from verse 47. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man So also are those who are heavenly. Now look at this verse. As we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. What Paul is almost saying is that to be a human being is to have had a swap. You begin with the image of God. Every human being made in the image of God. And then there's sin. Sin, we know, began with Adam and Eve in the garden. And because of sin, every human being then bears the image of the man of dust. And that's Adam. Do you see what Paul is saying then? We start with the image of God, and then because of sin, we bear the image of the man of dust. And so a human being, I don't know if it's right to say this, but let's say it like it. Every human being carries the image of God and the image of the man of dust. We are both in our experience. And the image of the man of dust hides the image of God in every one of us. And what we then do is we struggle all our lives with the image of the man of dust. Can I ask you to think about all the struggles you have, the battles you have to fight? It's because you bear the image of the man of dust. And so our weaknesses and our challenges and our failures and our hard edges, these are because we bear the image of the man of dust. But behind that image of the man of dust remains the image of God. And so we need to say this, don't we? Not just to ourselves here, but we need to say it to people in our families. If we've got somebody in our family who's physically ill, then we say to them, you're bearing the image of the man of dust. If we've got somebody in our family with a mental health problem or a gender identity problem or a sexuality problem, then our message is, this is the image of the man of dust. And we all have that image. And we all struggle with it. And we all battle with it. Because we all bear the image of the man of dust. That's human experience. That's what we are like. But, says Paul, the great purpose of God is to rescue us from the image of the man of dust and to restore us to the image of God. So I want us to stay here in 1 Corinthians for a few minutes, and I want you to notice, if you can, that how God does this. How does he rescue a man of dust, like you and me? How does he rescue us and restore that image of the image of God? Well, first of all, I want you to see that the first thing God does, if we can put it like this, is he sends his son to bear the image of the man of dust. Now, I just don't have the ability to explain to you how amazing this is. That God sent his son, the son of God, into our world so that he might bear the image of the man of dust. That's what God has done. In sending Jesus, the Son of God, the great God, he came into our world and he bore that same image that you and I are bearing every day of our lives. Jesus made the image of the man of dust. And he lived that image for all his life. He bore that image. And so he was weak and tired and lonely and suffering because he was bearing that image of the man of dust. He shared in it with us. He took it upon himself. And then what we know about Jesus is he went to the cross, was nailed to that cross as the man of dust. He took our sins as the man of dust upon the cross. And he was punished for our sins as the man of dust upon that cross. And when he was buried, let's think of it like this. The man of dust was buried, dead, gone. That image was laid to rest in that tomb. And when Jesus was raised from the dead, the image of the man of dust was gone. No more was Christ the man of dust. His human nature was glorified, transformed, risen. Jesus now is not the man of dust after his resurrection. He is the man of glory. His nature has been purified. His human nature has been glorified. So when you see Jesus after the resurrection, you are not looking at a man of dust who's weak and infirm and sorrowful and suffering. You're seeing human nature glorified. That's what you see. If you want to, you can say you're seeing human nature as it was before Adam fell. The resurrected Jesus is not the man of dust. He returns to heaven, and in heaven, Jesus, the man, is glorified. That's the future. That's what it means to be a Christian. To have that future ahead of you. So God, through his Son, does this work of rescuing our image. Now, people talk a great deal about image today, don't they? And you'll hear about body image, and you'll hear people talking about their image on Facebook and social media. There's so much talk about image, how we appear, how we present ourselves. Well, this is a biblical position on image. We wear the image of God. That is covered over by the image of dust. And then God sends his Son. So that his Son has the same image, the man of dust, and then takes to heaven a glorious human nature. Now, if you can hold on to that, then let's come back to Romans 8 and let's take a look at our text. So in your Bibles, turn back to our text, Romans 8, and it's 29 and 30. What I want you to start thinking about now is how is God going to restore his image in you? That image that's been covered over by the man of dust. Will you look at verse 29 then? And again, here's the challenge. Let's think about this as best we can. To restore his image in you, first of all, God chose you. Can you see it in verse 29? He foreknew you. He chose you in eternity past. So this is an idea that we are getting used to, but I think we need to take a moment just to realize that as we sit here on a Sunday morning, and we're very ordinary people, you sit here as someone whom God chose, and he chose you before he worked creation. So way back in eternity, God in love chose you to be someone in whom he will restore his image. That's the first step God does. And then you can see the second step, can't you, in Romans 8, 29. Having chose you, the second thing God does is he predestines you. God fixes your future. So to be a Christian means chosen. In the past, as far back in the past as you can go, you were chosen. And at that moment when you were chosen, God fixed your future. So there's no uncertainty. There is no doubt. There are no questions about the future of every believer. Nothing can alter your future. And your future is you will be like Jesus Christ. You will have his image. You will be like him. Now, the word like sounds a bit weak, doesn't it? But we must actually take it in the strongest sense we can. Absolutely like. The same as. That's the future for you. And it's summed up in Romans 8, 29 in the word predestined. So, however you want to explain the word, I want you to hold on to the idea that it's fixed. Now, think again about how people are saying our future's so uncertain. What's going to happen with Brexit? What's going to happen to our pensions? Will we still have jobs? Will we be able to buy houses? Here is one absolute, immovable certainty. The future for every Christian is to be conformed. And that's a wonderful word on its own. Conformed, share with, he and us, you and him, together, made into an image. That's your future. So what has God done for us, you and I, here on a Sunday morning? Chosen us in eternity past. He has fixed our future. And then look at the next stage in verse 30. He called you to faith in Christ. Just take a moment to remember when you were outside of Christ, when you were still a non-Christian. Remember not just what he was like, but remember what was true of you as a non-Christian. You were dead in your sins, without God, without hope. You were under condemnation. You were a child of wrath. That's what you were. And God called you. So by his Holy Spirit, through the words of the gospel, perhaps it was a certain Sunday night, perhaps it wasn't and you can't remember, but nonetheless, the Holy Spirit himself, he who is very God, he took the words of the gospel and he brought them to you, and your mind was opened and your heart was drawn and your eyes were opened and you were given faith to believe and you responded in faith to Christ. This is God's work. Calling someone he'd already chosen, calling someone whose future he had already fixed, God called you. He drew you to Christ and he gave you faith to believe. This is how God works to conform us to his image. Look at what else you've got in verse 30. Having called us, he then justifies us. Now, hold on a second. God justified you. God has declared that in his sight, God has no quarrel with you. God will never have a quarrel with you, because God has justified you. So I want to do two things right now. I want to remind you that you are still the image of the man of dust. That's who you are. You're going to be in the image of Christ, but at the moment, you're the image of the man of dust. So you've got all the struggles and the weaknesses and the failures of a man of dust. You've got the sins and the follies and the stupidities of a man of dust. You get it wrong as a man of dust, and God has justified you as a man of dust. And that's the most amazing thing you could say, perhaps, that God declares to men and women who are made in the image of the man of dust that he's got no quarrel with you. He's justified you. Now, if you want to drive this home, right at this point then in Romans 8:30, with the word justified, put a note in your Bible and say, Adam and Eve. Put that little reference there. Because go back to Genesis 3, and God's got a quarrel, hasn't he, with Adam and Eve. And in God's quarrel with them, he casts them out of the garden. So God is angry with them, and he condemns them, and his wrath is upon them. He has a quarrel with that first man of dust. But you, as a man of dust, God's got no quarrel with at all. And he's got no quarrel with you because of what he's done in his son for you. Having sent his son for you, his son bearing that same image of the man of dust, because he's called you to believe in that son, he has no quarrel with you. So you might have a quarrel with yourself, and we can find fault with each other, and we can point out and say, look how much dust is in that person's life. Or you might look at your own and say, do you know, I'm all dust. All I seem to be is dust. I get it wrong all the time. God has no quarrel with you. He has justified you. He has declared you righteous in his sight. That's what God has done, so that he might conform you to the image of his son. Well, the last there, you see it in Romans 8, verse 30, is the word glorified. That is that future moment when that image will finally be yours to be. If I can ask you to look from verse 18 in Romans 8, that's what Paul's been talking about since verse 18. And it's not an easy passage, particularly at the beginning, to work out what Paul is saying, but he's driving home this truth that at the moment we are not conformed to that image. We still wear the image of the man of dust. And so we are suffering, that's verse 18. And we don't know how to pray, that's what goes on into these verses. And things are happening to us and we wish they weren't, that's verse 28. So here's Paul saying to us, we are all struggling with the image of the man of dust. And it's a hard struggle and it's a bitter struggle. And then he says, we don't struggle alone with the image of the man of dust. Creation itself is also struggling with the same image. And the Holy Spirit has been given to us to pray for us. But it's such a struggle, this man of dust image. And I know you and me, we struggle, don't we, with this image. It's so difficult being a man of dust. And so what Paul does, right at the end of this passage, he says, right, let me tell you this. This is what God has done for you. He chose you. He's fixed your future. He's called you. He's justified you. And you, one day, will be glorified. That image of dust will be put to one side. You'll no longer bear it, but instead, you will be fully conformed to the image of the Son of God. Now imagine that. Imagine you no longer bearing the image of the man of dust, no longer struggling and battling and failing, no longer being defeated and discouraged, no longer ill, no longer aging, because that image of dust will be laid to dust. And then through the resurrection of the dead, we will be conformed to the image of the Son of God. Now that's what we have here in our text. And then right at the end of verse 29, here's this reference to family. God working then through the individual to restore again the image of family. Now I'm not going to say much about that. I don't know if I will. But most of us live in family, and family is this most wonderful thing. Family is also a most difficult thing. And every family is made up of individuals made in the image of the man of dust. So family life can be really wonderful, and family life can be very difficult. It can be heartbreaking. And we are seeing families break up. But God is working to restore family through his Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus came and was born in a family. And he knew a father die. He knew brothers who didn't believe him. He had brothers who mocked and laughed at him. So he shared in family life in all its dust. But here is God now working to restore family so that one day we'll have a new image and we'll have a new family. We'll be brothers and sisters sharing the image of Christ in the family